Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 49. In this long chapter, we have Jeremiah's prophecies of judgment against Ammon, against Edom, against Damascus, against Arabia, and against Elam. Let's read Jeremiah's prophecy against Ammon in verses 1 through 6. Against the Ammonites, thus says the Lord, has Israel no sons? Has he no heir? Why then does Milcom inherit Gad, and his people dwell in its cities? Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will cause to be heard an alarm of war in Rabbah of the Ammonites. It shall be a desolate mound, and her villages shall be burned with fire. Then Israel shall take possession of his inheritance, says the Lord. Wail, O Heshbon, for Ai is plundered. Cry, you daughters of Rabbah. Gird yourselves with sackcloth. Lament and run to and fro by the walls. For Milcom shall go into captivity with his priests and his princes together. Behold, I will bring fear upon you, says the Lord God of hosts, from all those who are around you. You shall be driven out, everyone headlong, and no one will gather those who wander off. But afterward, I will bring back the captives of the people of Ammon, says the Lord. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. Beginning in Jeremiah chapter 46, we've seen God's judgment pronounced on the foreign nations of Egypt, Philistia, and Moab. Now here in Jeremiah chapter 49, we have five more foreign powers brought under the pronouncement of God's judgment: Ammon, Edom, Damascus or Syria, Arabia, and Elam. Sometimes the specific reason is given for God's judgment of the particular nation in view. In other cases, a specific reason is not given, and it is assumed that these nations were guilty of sins in the areas for which God holds all nations accountable. What are these areas? Let's list seven. Number one, failure to recognize and acknowledge God's sovereignty over all the earth. Number two, pride and failure to show humility before the one true God. Number three, military aggression and international terrorism. Number four, failure to care for the poor and needy. Number five, violation of treaties made before God. Number six, failure to recognize the sanctity of life as protected under the Noahic covenant, which was given to all mankind. And number seven, last but not least, making war against God's people and thus coming under the curse of the Abrahamic covenant of Genesis chapter 12, which said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Sin in all of these areas comes under the judgment of God, then and today. We see then that this chapter certainly has application for today. God holds our nation responsible to do what's right in all of these areas. Let's keep this in mind as we examine under our doctrinal points the pronouncement of God's judgment on these five foreign powers surrounding Israel. So doctrinal point number one, Jeremiah prophesied against Ammon. Jeremiah prophesied against Ammon, verses 1 through 6, the verses that we just read. The nation of Ammon was located north of Moab and east of the territories of Reuben and Gad on the east side of the Jordan River. When the Assyrians had conquered the 2.5 eastern tribes of Israel and taken away many of them captive in 734 BC, the Ammonites had moved in and stolen the territory of Gad under the direction of their god Malcolm or Milcom, probably another name for Moloch, verse 1. For this uncalled for military aggression, as well as for her boastful pride, verse 4, Ammon would reap what she had sown. Her towns would be burned and she would go into exile. Indeed, all of this took place when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians invaded Ammon in 581 BC. Because the nation of Ammon ceased to exist by the end of the 6th century BC, we believe that the promise of the restoration of Ammon in verse 6 awaits the second coming of Christ. Doctrinal point number two, Jeremiah prophesied against Edom. Jeremiah prophesied against Edom, verses 7 through 22. Against Edom, Thus says the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Has counsel perished from the prudent? Has their wisdom vanished? Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will punish him. For thus says the Lord, behold, those whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunk. And are you the one who will altogether go unpunished? You shall not go unpunished, but you shall surely drink of it. For I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah shall become a desolation, a reproach, a waste, and a curse, and all its cities shall be perpetual waste. For indeed I will make you small among nations, despised among men. Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill. Though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. Edom also shall be an astonishment. Everyone who goes by it will be astonished and will hiss at all its plagues, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord. No one shall remain there, nor shall a son of man dwell in it. Therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Edom and his purposes that he has proposed against the inhabitants of Teman. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their dwelling places desolate with them. The earth shakes at the noise of their fall. At the cry, its noise is heard at the Red Sea. Behold, he shall come up and fly like the eagle and spread his wings over Bozrah. The heart of the mighty men of Edom in that day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pangs. The nation of Edom was located southeast of the Dead Sea and south of Moab. The Edomites, remember, were descendants of Esau, and their long history of friction with Israel is well known to every Bible student. We see in verses 9 through 11 that God's destruction of Edom would be so thorough that it would be like a vineyard picked completely clean. No gleanings. Only the widows and orphans would escape. The Edomites boasted that they were militarily secure in their rock-protected city of ancient Petra. For their arrogance, Edom is denounced. Verse 16, your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart, O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. We find this same pronouncement of judgment on Edom in the prophecy of Obadiah. Notice in verse 18 that the destruction of Edom would be like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Go to the ruins of ancient Petra today in Jordan, and you can see the fulfillment of this prophecy. Nebuchadnezzar also fulfilled this prophecy of judgment, and later Arab tribes, known as the Nabataeans, drove out the remaining Edomites into southern Judah, where they became the Edomians. Doctrinal point number 3, Jeremiah prophesied against Damascus. Jeremiah prophesied against Damascus, verses 23 through 27. Against Damascus, Hamath and Arpad are shamed, for they have heard bad news. They are faint-hearted. Damascus has grown feeble. She turns to flee, and fear has seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her like a woman in labor. Why is the city of praise not deserted, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord of hosts. I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Damascus was and is the capital of the nation of Syria. In verse 25, we see that even the Lord thought of Damascus as a beautiful and pleasant city. But because of her sins, especially her perennial attacks on God's people, Damascus would be destroyed. As the Assyrians conquered Syria in 732 BC, so the Babylonians would again conquer Damascus in the 6th century BC. The phrase in that day, in verse 26, may be an indication that God's pronouncement of judgment on Damascus is not yet fully complete. In Isaiah's prophecy against Damascus, in Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1, it is predicted that Damascus will be removed as a city, a prophecy that awaits to be completely fulfilled. Doctrinal point number 4, Jeremiah prophesied against Arabia. Jeremiah prophesied against Arabia, verses 28 through 33. Against Kedar, and against the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, shall strike. Thus says the Lord, arise, go up to Kedar, and devastate the men of the east. Their tents and their flocks they shall take away. They shall take for themselves their curtains, all their vessels and their camels. And they shall cry out to them, fear is on every side. Flee, get far away, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Hazor, says the Lord. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has taken counsel against you and has conceived a plan against you. Arise, go up to the wealthy nation that dwells securely, says the Lord, which has neither gates nor bars, dwelling alone. Their camels shall be for booty, and the multitude of their cattle for plunder. I will scatter to all winds those in the farthest corners, and I will bring their calamity from all its sides, says the Lord. Hazor shall be a dwelling place for jackals, a desolation forever. No one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. Once again, this judgment was because these Arab tribes who descended from Abraham were not peaceful toward God's chosen people, Israel. As a result, these Bedouin tent dwellers would be overrun by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. They and their camels and flocks and herds, as well as their treasures, would be scattered and plundered. History proves the accuracy of this prophecy. Doctrinal point number 5. Jeremiah prophesied against Elam. Jeremiah prophesied against Elam. Verses 34 through 39. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the foremost of their might. Against Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven and scatter them toward all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Ancient Elam was located in the southwest of what is Iran today. So this becomes a very interesting prophecy, as we'll see at the end of the chapter. Elam was famous for its archers in warfare, but they themselves would become a broken bow as God in his anger would scatter them and shatter them. But now comes the good news in verses 38 and 39. I will set my throne in Elam and will destroy from there the king and the princes, says the Lord. But it shall come to pass in the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. There will be a spiritual restoration of this land and nation as part of the Lord's future earthly worldwide kingdom. Now, what about practical application for Jeremiah chapter 49? It's God's way or the highway. It's God's way or the highway. Now, we've all heard the expression, it's my way or the highway, right? Well, when all is said and done, it's not our way. It's God's way or the highway. We've seen in these prophecies of judgment here in Jeremiah chapter 49 that the nations had a choice of submitting to the ways of the one true God or being defeated and scattered to the four winds. It was God's way or the highway. The same is true on a personal level today. Every person has the choice to either submit to the one true God or ultimately be sent to a lost eternity. God is love, but he is also holy and sovereign. It's God's way or the highway.